so wonderful music.
Wow, that was Dr. Zhivago, and we really do, a lot of us know that theme, well, especially our age group, and it's a theme from the epic Sir David Lean film, Dr. Zhivago, starring gorgeous Julie Christie and Omar Sharif. Today I'm here with Anna Pasternak, who is a writer and journalist, and is a member of the Pasternak family. Her great uncle was Boris Pasternak, the Nobel Prize-winning novelist, and one of the best-known poets, writers, and translators in Russia in the 20th century. Anna has written a book all about the untold story and the inspiration about Dr. Zhivago, and it's called Lara. Hi, Anna. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. You're on the red sofa now. You're going to spill all. So, who was the woman who inspired Dr. Zhivago?
She was called Olga Avinskaya, and she was an editorial assistant at the literary journal Novy Mir, which Boris was invited to become a contributor to, and they met in 1946. She was 34 and he was 56, and there was an instant coup de foudre between them. He was on his second wife at that time, and they developed this passionate affair that went on for 14 years until he died, and she was the absolute muse and inspiration for Lara in Dr. Zhivago.
So tell us, apparently she was called a tired beauty. I really like that expression. Can you tell us what she looked like?
She was blonde and blue-eyed and apparently had enviably translucent skin. The tired beauty, I think, came from the amount that she'd suffered. And there was a sort of probably a soul weariness, you know, in the pools of her eyes, because she had been widowed twice before she met Boris, and she had two children by each of her husbands who died.
Yeah, can you tell us about them, go into more depth, because I thought that was fascinating.
Yes, her first husband, I can't really remember.
You're asking names.
I can't remember. Yeah. Yes, died in the war. And then, rather unfortunately, her second husband committed suicide. So, you know, and this is all before she's in her early 30s. I think it's very difficult very easy rather, to forget the time at which we're talking about, when so many people died or were sent to the gulag or the labour camps, and life seemed very tenuous and possibly more precious then.
So what year was it they met?
They met in 1946, and they started their courtship really through the streets of Moscow, and they would meet, because Boris, as I say, was married, and his second wife, Zinaida, lived in his country dacha, Perodelkino, which is about 50 minutes outside Moscow. So most of their initial courtship was spent walking the streets of Moscow. And then in 1949, Olga was sentenced to a labour camp.
Hang on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still working.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were separated for 3.5 years.
Now, we've got to talk about this labour camp.
Yes.
Because it was because of him that she was sent.
I mean, that's what's so incredible. It is absolutely miraculous, looking back, that Boris Pasternak, who was writing anti-Soviet material, was not sent to a labour camp or executed under Stalin. The reason for that was because Boris was a brilliant translator of Georgian poetry, and Stalin was from Georgia. So Boris Pasternak actually had a stamp on his KGB file saying, "Leave the cloud dweller alone." So the authorities sought to persecute him by getting at the one thing that they knew he loved and valued, and that was Olga. So Olga was arrested on sort of trumped up charges of spying, taken to the Moscow Lubyanka, interrogated for 9 months nightly on the book that Boris was writing, and not once did she betray him. And I have the transcripts of the interrogations in Lara, and her riposts are brilliant sometimes, utterly brilliant. And also she miscarried Boris's, she realised she was pregnant when she was in the Lubyanka, miscarried his child, and then was sent for 3.5 years hard labour to a labour camp in Potmer.
It's hard to believe that she survived that.
It's incredibly hard to believe that she survived that, especially she described the conditions of the sort of, you know, absolute grueling Moldavian winters. I think the summers were worse, the baking summers of toiling the land. partly she survived because she was so besotted with Boris Pasternak and so in love with him, and her head was alive with his poetry all day long as she was working in the fields. And I think that you know, their passion really did fuel so much, not just the material for Dr. Zhivago, but also kept her going.
Yeah, one of my favourite, in fact, my favourite story in the whole book was the story about the postcards.
Yes.
Can you tell us that?
Yes, that was utterly brilliant. Because Boris was such a controversial figure at this time, and inmates were only allowed to receive correspondence from close family relatives, that he would write these postcards in his sort of typically erudite and flowering style, and then would sign "Your Mama." And it amused Olga so much to receive these postcards that were so beautifully written, when I don't think her mother was nearly quite so literate, so she knew instantly. And they would refer to, "I saw your Boris and he talked so much about how he loves you," you know, sort of in the third person. So she knew instantly that it was Boris that was writing the postcards. That was quite amusing.
Well, I thought it was so charming that they never even, you know, they're so dumb, the people, they never even got it, you know?
Yes, well, yeah. Exactly. I mean, that was one of the many ways in which they did manage to get something, some measure of power over the authorities.
How did she get out, and how was their relationship after this massive strain?
She was freed in 1953 when Stalin died. There was an amnesty, and many prisoners were released. And when she came back to Moscow, during the time that she'd been in the labour camp, Boris had suffered two rather serious heart attacks, and his second wife had nursed him back to health. And in a sort of act of staggering naivety, he went to Olga's daughter before Olga was released and said, "You must tell your mother that I love her, but we can't continue our relationship because I owe my life to my second wife," which was an astonishingly crass thing to say when he owed his political life to Olga, who had been persecuted instead of him. But of course, the minute she came back to Moscow and they saw each other, they were instantly in each other's arms. And then I think that led to one of the, although it was politically fraught time, I think it led to one of the happiest times, because Olga moved to a little house, which in near Perodelkino, and there was a lake and there was a bridge across the lake, and he lived a very open double life where he slept at the big house with his second wife and would work there in the morning, then would cross the lake and go to Olga every afternoon, evening, where she valiantly typed the manuscript of Dr. Zhivago two times, and where they continued their love affair.
Now let's go back to Dr. Zhivago. You've got to tell us where the name comes from and why it's such an important novel.
I think it's such an important novel because of Boris Pasternak's courage, that during this period between the Russian Revolution and the Civil War, when, as he said, Russia had its roof torn off, he had the courage to write his truth about what was happening in Russia. And obviously that was incredibly controversial and brave thing to do. So when Yuri Zhivago speaks of the horrors of revolution, it is really Boris Pasternak speaking. The name Zhivago means lively. So Dr. Zhivago, Yuri Zhivago, was a doctor, and he was also a poet, with a nod to Anton Chekhov, who was a poet and playwright and a doctor. And they, on one of his many walks with Olga around Moscow, they looked at a manhole cover one day, and it had Zhivago on it, which was the name of the industrialist who clearly did a lot of construction in Moscow, and he thought it was a wonderful name, so that's where it came from.
So the novel really was, how does Lara's personality, is it really about her, the book?
It's definitely about her. Although it is true that when he first decided to write this book, he had not yet met Lara. And then he had already begun the novel, and then he met Olga, who then became his Lara. And she very much softened and flowered. I mean, I have woven through my book, Lara, the passages from Dr. Zhivago. So, for example, Yuri's first sighting of Lara, the way he describes her, the tired beauty, a beauty born of suffering. And you absolutely can tell the passages that are autobiographical, both in terms of Yuri Zhivago's view of the revolution and also Yuri's burgeoning love with Olga. And of course, Yuri Zhivago is also married to a very dutiful wife, Tonya, memorably played by Geraldine Chaplin in the film. And so he literally writes out his angst of this triangular love and the guilt he feels and how he rehearses telling his second wife that he's going to leave her, but then doesn't have the courage to, and oscillates between Olga and Zinaida. I mean, unfortunately, you know, he was a weak man when it came to his heart, but he did exalt Olga on the pages of his novel.
But then could you say he wasn't a weak man? He wanted to please two women, you know, he didn't want to let the family down.
I would still say that's weak. I think he should have made a choice.
Was it a sign of the times, do you think?
I think it's almost impossible for us today to understand the pressure they were under and that, you know, the daily threat of death or imprisonment. I do feel aggrieved with Boris that while I think he was the most brilliantly courageous man in his career, and I absolutely salute his courage, I know that had he left his second wife and married Olga, which, let's face it, having been, you know, interrogated nightly, sent to a prison camp where she did not by breath, deed, word or look betray him, I think she deserved the security of the Pasternak surname. And had he married her, there's absolutely no chance that she would have been sent off to a prison camp for a second time post his death.
Oh, I couldn't believe it when I read that. So that was post his death?
Yes. So post his death, the authorities still had it in for her. And it was just awful the way that they... I mean, I literally think it was 3 weeks after he died when she was in mourning and there was that terrifying knock at the door and in came the KGB. And they trumped up these ludicrous charges of that she had been smuggling in royalties from Dr. Zhivago and sent both her and her daughter off to a Siberian labour camp, which she was then there for another 3 years.
It's unbelievable. Now, he had a very good relationship with the daughter, and did you meet the daughter?
That's right. Irina, Olga's daughter, really was the daughter Boris never had because he had two sons, a son from each wife. And when he met Olga, Irina was about 8, and she went straight into the pages of Dr. Zhivago. She is immortalised as Katenka, Olga's daughter. She's now in her late 70s, and it took me five years to persuade her to meet with me because she was very sceptical of my motives in writing this book as a Pasternak, as my family, particularly my grandmother, had not been kind towards
her.
Was that
Josephine?
Olga. Josephine, yeah. Pasternak, exactly. And they felt that for Boris to have two wives and then a very public mistress was sort of indefensible to their staunch moral code. So they just sort of blanked her out and they didn't honour or acknowledge Olga. So, as I say, Irina at first did not want to meet with me.
And so how did you persuade her? I'm dying to know.
Just sort of really tenacious persistence, not giving up, constantly emailing her and phoning
telling
her.
And
reassuring her. Yeah. I said, look, you know, I promise you, I want to right an ancestral wrong and I want this book to prove that your mother was the unsung heroine. And if it wasn't for her, I truly believe Dr. Zhivago would not only not have been completed, it would not have been published. And what was rather lovely is I sent her an advance copy of the book last week and I got an email from her saying that I had done what no other generation had done, which is I'd seen the story through fresh eyes without prejudice and I'd done the remarkable love between her mother and Boris justice, and that if her mother was alive, she would have loved me like her nearest soul, which was so lovely and brought tears to my eyes. But so then I spent a lot of time with Irina in Paris, and she formed a huge part of my research material for the book.
And what's she like?
At first, I wasn't so warm to her because she was very Soviet and very sceptical and quite tough. So, for example, when I asked her, do you feel resentful with Boris that your mother spent all this time in a labour camp during your early teens and then you were sent in a camp? She was furious with me for asking what she thought was an incredibly impertinent question. And, of course, what meeting her did prove to me was that Boris Pasternak was so unbelievably famous in Russia at this time. We can't really understand it by today's standards of celebrity. And it was only when I went to Russia and I met people, when they discovered that I was related to Pasternak, you know, they would start reciting his poetry with tears rolling down their cheeks. They would bow. They would. It was just quite incredible. Even to this day, he is so revered, mainly as a poet, not as the author of Doctor Zhivago, in Russia. And part of the reason for that is when so many Russian writers became emigres, so like Nabokov or other writers, when Boris Pasternak was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, the Soviets said to him, if you go and collect this award, you will never be allowed back into this country. They wanted to get rid of him, and he refused. He renounced the Nobel Prize, and he refused to leave his adored mother Russia. So Russians hold him so dearly in their heart.
Because he's the only one really that stayed.
Yeah, he stayed. Yeah. And he risked, I mean, he risked, you know, death many times. But he adored...
Because I just want to butt in and say, all his family had left as well. I'm talking about his parents, yes, his sisters, you know. So he got his wife, but he got nobody else.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I found really moving researching the book was reading all his correspondence to his family. And he was incredibly close to his parents. He absolutely adored his father, Leonid, an impressionist painter who worked very closely with Tolstoy. And, you know, he adored his siblings. And they left Russia during the revolution. His two sisters, one of whom was my grandmother, who married a Pasternak cousin, which is why I'm called Pasternak still. So there's a Pasternak on both sides. Yeah. And the two sisters and the parents left, and only he and his brother Alexander stayed. And the family always assumed that they would be reunited in Russia and they would go back and live in Russia again. They went to Germany during the revolution, and then in the 30s, when Hitler was expelling citizens with Soviet passports, they went to Oxford. And even then, 1935, again, the correspondence is about how they will then come back to Russia. And of course, World War II broke out, and then sadly, Boris's mother died, and then his father, and he never saw his family again. And through all his letters, there's the constant ache of his missing. He just adored them.
And that, I mean, it's an extraordinary life. And his life was about sacrifice, wasn't it?
I think that's right. I mean, people are very sort of furious with him, especially when they've read my book, Lara, that they felt he didn't treat Olga well enough and he was a sort of cad. But actually, you're absolutely right. We have to see it in the context of the day, the historical context of the day. And he absolutely did sacrifice everything to put his version of what was happening to Russia on the page. And he did sacrifice a lot for that.
It's fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. So, Lara, the untold love story and the inspiration behind Dr. Zhivago is being published on Thursday.
That's right.
And this is published by HarperCollins. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. You're so brilliant at that.
Oh, my God.
You're so polished.
Yeah, which channel? Done. That's it. Oh, God.